Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill, here with my favorite guru gardeners. Hello, Lance, Lulu. How are you this evening?
Fabulous, Jill.
I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
How can you not be doing good at this kind of weather, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's the time of year we all wait for.
I just stood at about 8 o'clock last night with the clouds and the sunset.
Oh,
it was just like, oh.
The sunset was magical last night.
Yeah, this is a magical time of year. And we're going to be talking about it for the next half hour. We want to talk about it with you. 527-486-8166. KVNF Now. Lots of treats again in the studio. Some fresh, these are the Reliance grapes.
Reliance grape. And they actually still need another week, but they're good.
They are tasty.
But what's really nice about yours is the uniform color. I swear
oh,
to
really?
God, mine, well, yeah, you know, it's the same old thing at my house. The sun isn't uniform, so nothing else.
The shade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about another week, but they're pretty darn tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Reliance grapes going, and you're going to do what with those?
Oh, man, I've decided I'm going to dry some and freeze some because you can't eat them all. If you ate them all at once when they came, you'd die.
Right. I mean, are we on overload with fruit or what?
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, just,
absolutely.
Just ask my stomach.
But these are gorgeous. And so drying means raisins, right?
Raisins.
Right, yeah. And these don't have any seeds, which is bonus, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Although seeds in your grapes means that you're getting grape seed extract, so that ain't so bad.
Very good for you.
Yeah.
Right.
I have grapes with seeds in them, too.
Do you make raisins?
And they make good raisins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And easy to eat seeds. I mean, they're easy to eat
seeds. Yeah, you know, I don't get it with the dysfunction of seeds. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that crunch. Crunch it up.
Yeah, it does. Nice texture.
I like cooking them with my breakfast cereals.
Oh, yummy. I bet that is really good.
You know, when I made raisins with the seeds
in
it.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
And that was really good.
Yeah, that's a great texture thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the grapes, I mean, I have also the Concords. Oh, my God, my Concords. They're 2 weeks out easy.
Uh-huh.
They're not sweet yet, but boy, are they purple.
Wow.
And,
just keeps coming.
Yeah, and of course, they have seeds. And the other grape that I have in the yard, I swear to God, had to be a forebearer of this Reliance. It doesn't have seeds, but the flavor is so similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be.
What do the leaves look like?
A grape leaf.
Yeah, but some are just round with no. Some have big lobes in them. You know.
No, excuse me. Mine are not that lobey.
Okay.
They're a little rounder.
Yeah.
Little rounder, not lobey.
And
tasty.
Not quite so lobey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yummy.
And they're up in the top of the apple tree.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Big mama.
Yeah,
big mama. She's just a welcoming
She is
being,
a welcoming
she?
Being. Yeah, yeah, boy, and is she loaded with apples.
Hey. Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you about the peaches.
Yeah.
Is somebody on the phone?
No, but I'm going to give the numbers real quick.
Okay.
527-486-8166, KVNF Now. Go to your phones and join the conversation.
Yeah, just tell us something.
Yeah.
Save us from ourselves, like I always say. So my peach tree was like, it's a dwarf peach tree, right? So I thinned it this year. I thinned the peaches. I'm not so sure that was so smart because now I've got these huge peaches and the whole tree looked like it was going to fall over.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I propped it up with one of my old orchard ladders, this old wooden orchard ladder. Well, you should have seen me trying to get that thing in there and get it in the right position. It was hysterical.
Oh, I know what you mean.
but it's working.
Oh, good.
It's being held up. Yeah. And then the forest of maple trees, I don't know what hit them, but a lot of them are just like really looking puny.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Just that was like over in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, but I don't mind. They can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You know,
a few of them will at least pull through.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. The ones that look good look fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't either, but I've seen it before on mature maple trees, where they'll just start to semi-mature. I have one in the backyard that also came from a seedling, that's about I don't know maybe 10 years old now. And for a long time, every year at about this time, the leaves on the outer perimeter of the tree and on the outer perimeters of the leaves would just start to die back and get all funky and brown and curl and dead and die. And, you know, and just, and now this year, this year it's it's fabulous. So who knows?
I know. And that's the great thing. It's different every year. And we love watching it, being aware.
Paying attention.
Paying attention. Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Hey, I wanted to ask about fruit trees because I think we talked about starting cleanup last week and just keeping all of that fruit off of the ground and keeping it clean. Kind of a hard thing to do this year. There's so much fruit.
Yeah, there's so much. And yes, it takes discipline to go do it because it's rotten, sticky, yucky stuff.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Right.
And I actually, the other thing that I'm doing is I still have an apricot tree full of apricots.
Wow.
And they're not overripe.
Really?
And I am actually started going on the top of the tree, and I'm picking them off, eating too many.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm actually dumping them down in the canyon.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's what and it's really funny because one morning I went down there, and guess who was down there eating them?
Brer Bear.
No, turkeys.
Oh,
the turkeys.
The turkeys were eating all of those apricots.
Oh, wow. Sure.
It's amazing. In just one day, they found where I'd been.
Right.
You know.
And then while they were down there, they must have been spreading talk about your garden because you've got like the turkey brigade. Your place.
Yeah, 30 turkeys. Over 30 turkeys the other morning.
And you did do a little turkey chasing.
Yes.
And you caught one.
Yeah. I catch them if they get in the garden.
Yeah.
They have
turkey
to go.
Lurky.
But, you know, they know how to get in. They don't fly over the fence at my place. It's because I've left the gate open.
Oh, so they're waiting.
And they actually can be herded because they know exactly where that gate is.
Oh, heck yeah.
They're smart. And if you can move them around and they'll eventually go right back. As long as you don't chase them. If you chase them, it's a whole other story.
But right.
You can herd them back out that gate.
No, you can herd turkeys and chickens, but you can't herd cats.
No.
That's a true saying right there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Hey, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. How about a bean report? Because you've got a lot of different kinds of beans. You've been harvesting beans. Yeah. What's going on
with
all the beans?
Well, the Boston favorite, it's a baked bean, is all harvested. And what I shouldn't say, it's harvested out of the garden. What I do when I'm growing the dry beans is I cut them off. I cut the plant off and I throw it on burlap tarts and dry them completely on the burlap tarts. So right now they're in the driveway. And it took me 1 year to realize that if I don't put another tarp on top of them, the birds come and eat them. So I have 5 tarts.
Opportunists out there.
And they're covered in beans, both the black beans and the Boston favorites. And they're covered with another tarp. And I'll bring them at night because the rodents will have their say with them.
Oh, man.
So anyways, but the black beans I do different. It's the only bean I do with this. It will shatter. In other words, the bean pod explodes and they don't ripen evenly. So I'm actually going one at a time picking those pods.
Oh, wow.
So right now I probably got 20 pounds of black beans that I picked one pod at a time.
So just when you go by there, it's like, is anything ready?
No, every day I've gone through at least half of that bed.
Wow.
There's 5 rows and I go half, you know.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. It's almost done.
Almost done. Yeah. Almost. Man, so close.
You know, I swear to God.
That's meticulous.
I mean, I do half of what you do. Yeah. No, I do a tenth of what you do. And it wears me out. Yeah. I got to go after the currants. That's next.
Mm-hmm. Currants are next.
Yeah. And then more sorrel pesto and then arugula pesto.
Oh, speaking of pesto, you are a woman of your word and such a kind soul.
I said I was bringing it in. Here it is.
Sylvette arugula pesto, 2016. From Lulu's Garden, special treat of the night here.
Well, that's a special treat arugula tube. That's a it's a weak perennial. It's not weak in its ability to come back. It definitely comes back, but it only comes back for a couple of years and then it's out of there.
Oh, so
but
nice.
But that's a real keeper in your garden. Just letting it sort of fill in the blanks if you've got one of those rough areas.
Yeah.
You know, on the edge of your garden where all my rough areas are. Or if you have, you know, just an open space somewhere that you don't mow and you water a little tiny bit, boy, they don't need much water.
Oh, really?
No.
Just sort of let it run there,
and just
huh?
sort of let it get started. And it's mm-hmm. a really happy yellow flower.
Mm-hmm.
The color is really nice, you know, and it stays year after year. And,
nice.
You know, it can be a pain, but whatever.
It's a short-lived perennial.
Yeah, it's a short-lived perennial.
Maybe 5 years at most.
Oh, gosh, no, I don't think it even
does
three. That.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Just short lifespan, huh?
Yeah, short-lived perennial. And it's, you know, it's at the crack of spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, by the second or third week in April, you can go out and make a salad.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, that's worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Lulu. That is a special treat.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a little different from regular arugula, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know, some people say it's milder. I think that this round, it was hot. Fabulous.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think you're really
going to
like
that.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Tangy.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody has very strong opinions about arugula, one way or the other.
That's for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting that way.
Mm-hmm. You got to love it. I love it.
Yeah, I love spice.
Me
you
too.
Know?
It's that mustard family. Everything,
right.
Every single plant in the mustard family is edible. It won't kill you.
Every single plant.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Even that
know.
Purple-flowered mustard
that's out
in the adobes and along the roads, that's actually very good.
Yep, you can eat that every single one. Some of them will give you a little harder to digest, mm-hmm. but none mm-hmm. of them will kill you.
Nice. Good
you
to know.
So.
Good mustard plants.
And you always know it's a mustard by it has four petals on the flower.
Oh, okay.
That's how
you know. Very simple flower to identify.
Right. Really simple, yeah, four
yeah.
petals.
All right,
yeah,
good to know.
There you go. So there you have it. Now you're not going to starve to death.
Right.
When you're lost in the dobies in the spring when the purple mustard is flowering.
There you go. We all need that kind of advice.
Oh, gosh.
How about the carrot report? We haven't visited on carrots. Since.
Carrots?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first bed's done. Got buckwheat.
The first bed.
Yeah. I have four.
Right.
So the first bed is completely done, and
completely
I planted buckwheat. The second bed, because the carrots seem to be quite popular this year, they've been growing faster, I went and did a second thinning. So I've done a second thinning. So now those carrots in that bed in 3 weeks are going to be really big.
Uh-huh. Nice, big, juicy.
I mean, yeah, I thinned them 2 inches, but now they're 4 inches apart.
Whoa.
You know,
I thought
about
nice.
Thinning mine again, too, because there's a couple of places where they're pretty close together.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But then on the other hand, I think... Every man for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strong.
You know? And they'll,
survival
they'll,
of the
they'll push each other around.
Yep. And then the third bed, I've just started the second thinning.
Okay.
And there's still the fourth bed, and we'll see what I do when, how tired I am at that point.
Right. Whether you'll thin or not.
Yeah.
And so not too late to thin. And when do you foresee the fourth bed being final harvest timing wise?
Oh, October, November.
Okay. Uh huh.
And
those get really good because they'll have a frost on them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then do you leave some of them in the ground to just eat?
I don't leave anything in the ground. The rodents are too bad.
Oh, that's right.
So I dig them up and put them in trenches and store them that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your winter storage
yeah.
plan.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you're planting buckwheat in pretty much everything.
Everything that I've taken out now, I've planted buckwheat. But as of next week, what I'm going to do is like the buckwheat where I had the oats, or not the oats, the wheat, that's ready to till in already. It's already 12 days,
wow.
16 inches tall. I'm blooming like mad. So I watered it this weekend, and I'm going to till it in this next weekend. And right next to it is where those black beans were. And I'm going to mow those plants down. And I have a partial bag. I think I have enough of, it's called a yellow field pea.
Mm-hmm.
Trapper pea. And it does, this will not winter over, but I'm going to plant that and water that. And it will be cooler and cooler as we go along, and it will do really good. I've seen it get up 2 feet high.
Oh, wow.
You know.
So late season.
Yeah, and when it freezes, I might just leave it there, or mm-hmm. I might till it in and leave it go. But I think where that first bed of carrots,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were talking about planting next year's garden already, and right next to it was the onion bed. Well, that's all out too. And it's planted in buckwheat. I thought, you know, I'm going to plant einkorn. Einkorn is one of the first domesticated wheats.
Oh.
From
einkorn?
E-I-N-K-O-R-N.
Uh-huh. Oh,
einkorn.
Okay.
And I have grown it, but not for, it has a hole on it, and it's very hard to get the hole off. So I'm going to grow it, and but it's like, oh, there's a hole over the grain.
Oh, okay.
You know, or a husk. Mm-hmm. And it actually, and that's quite hard to get off. And so we'll...
I know. Jill and I are looking at each
other. Yeah.
What you mean?
What you mean?
What you mean, Lance? What you talking about?
Well, you know how garlic has skin on it that has that. Yeah. Well, this grain does. Only it's really hard to get off of it.
Oh.
Okay.
Gotcha.
You know, spelt is very hard to get that husk
off. That's what you were saying.
And I did that all last winter with my feet on the ground, on the floor.
Right. That's a good foot massage.
Oh, man. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
oh.
That's good. Reflexology.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wish I would have had some nice music playing, but it was out in the garden room, you know.
So is this buckwheat your winter cover crop?
No.
No.
Buckwheat will freeze. Freeze off. The winter cover crop will be rye or Austin winter pea, or I don't think I'll do vetch.
Yeah, so you're just covering the ground with the buckwheat right now, and you're going to, like you said,
I'm watering, so I might as well be doing
it.
Yeah.
In, and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
keeping
we'll
the soil fed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I wonder what would happen if you got a bag of worm castings and spread it in with your buckwheat, you know, now, and then just like mulched heavily on top of the buckwheat and on top of the. The buckwheat, the worm castings would be underneath, and then the buckwheat would be on top of the worm castings. And I bet the worms would hatch and come up in the spring.
Yeah, they probably would.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Boy, that'd
that's
be,
really feeding it, huh?
Yeah, I wonder what that. Oh, I'm going to try that.
There you go. What a brilliant idea
you
just had.
No, that sounds kind of fun. And you know, and if you really had an obnoxious spot that you wanted to get after, boy, that might be the way to do it. And if it wasn't huge, you know, I mean, obviously you're not going to do it on 40 acres, but
right,
you know,
I like
just
that
a backyard
idea.
Garden, it
worked really well.
Great idea.
I'm going to try it.
Hey, it's our friend Anthony on the line from Paonia. Good
we
evening.
We love that.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Nobody else called. Okay.
They're all outside in their gardens.
Yeah, everybody's outside having a cocktail. That's
but we're glad to we're glad to talk to you.
I was hearing about the Oregon State Fair. That was great.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll have to bring you some of those Jonathan Alphas. They're really nice. But,
oh, great.
It's something I've been mulling around here all summer because, you know, this is my first full summer, actually, on this property.
Nice.
And the garden area is pooped out. Okay, I've got some really nice old raspberries, probably 100 years old, go back to the original homestead, right on the west side of the original little house. And so they get no light, in morning light, for a long time, up until noon or something.
Yeah.
But they're growing. They're nice, healthy plants, and there's a lot of little starts and stuff. So anyway, but they didn't produce fruit worth, you know, anything. So where should I move those, and when should I move them, and what should I put in the soil? I'm thinking bone meal in there, but you guys tell me.
Okay,
oh,
good question.
You mean when you transplant the raspberry bushes, how to prep the soil?
Yeah, because this soil is really just pooped out.
Yeah.
It's any organic matter. Bone meal's not going to hurt, but compost... You know, and you're not going to do it till spring. So if you want to put a cover crop in there now, you could do that.
Yeah.
Cover crop to get it ready.
Yeah. How big, how much ground are you planning to put? How big is the spot going to be where you're going to put them?
What, you mean just for the raspberries?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I think I'm with you, because they pretty much need a dedicated space.
Yeah, they do. And they need to be someplace where you can get at them easily and... all of that, and water them easily.
Yeah,
and
they need water,
yeah,
I think.
They need water.
Right, yeah. Well, I was thinking about the north edge, which is, I don't know, 30, 40 yards across, or something like that, and because then they could just be up there. And beyond that is just a great big alfalfa, 20 acres of alfalfa field.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've got bees galore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was thinking about putting them on that north side.
Not the north side of the house, though.
No. I mean, it would be the north end of the property.
Right.
It would get full sun all day long.
Yeah, they'll be happy there.
Yeah, they'll be happy. And any type of fertilizer will work. Some people say not to do high nitrogen just because they'll grow more than they bloom. I haven't seen that that's really the problem, you know.
You know, some of the best soil in my garden is where I threw down really old, well-rotted cow manure. When it decomposed into the sun, it could be one of the only places in my garden where there aren't cracks or anything. I mean, it really did a number. So like that, or, you know, there's lots of, you know, you can get some from the Farm and Home and get one of those big bales and just empty it right on there. And I mean, you know, I think really the idea of putting something down like worm castings and things like that, or soil amendment of some kind, covering it thick with straw or hay or whatever you've got thick, cover it thick. That means, you know, 2-3 feet, just cover it.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah,
on my other plants. I mean, people in this state, people in the West, we need to mulch.
Yeah, like a crazy person.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, like you can't even believe that something's going to grow in there. You've got so much, and then just let it go through the winter, and then
it'll be 6 inches thick by the end of winter.
It'll be down to 6 inches at the end of the winter, and just pull it aside and make your trench and maybe amend your soil again a little bit put them in there and call it good.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good idea for the initial stages. Yeah.
And you should
my neighbor just gives me his old alfalfa hay bales. I put it out around all the tomatoes.
Perfect.
Just like you're saying, I mean, pretty not that thick. Or kind
of thick. Not
it's all gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, goes right
in
back
a couple
in
months.
Order. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant. What I would do that. I really would. I love my hay bales in the Rio Grande garden, where I put them in this spring and they're already just collapsing. And it's just fabulous.
I want to go back to the transplanting part of it.
No,
when you go to dig them, make sure that the shoots on there are bigger than a pencil.
Okay.
They have to be thicker than a pencil because there's not enough oomph if you don't get something bigger.
Oh, okay.
They don't have enough stored energy to get started again.
Right.
That's bad.
that's how you translate oomph.
Yeah, oomph. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Hey,
thank
you.
Good luck,
question.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I think he has a great garden up there. I'd love to check that out.
I know. We're going to have to go up there sometime, do a stealth run.
Yeah, we are. I've just seen some fabulous gardens all around town.
Oh, man.
All
it,
over the
it
valley.
It blows me away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some great stuff going on. Different ways people, you know, make their gardens so they fit well for them and raise their plants up, and just some great tricks and different. Just some great different methods. Yeah.
I just don't want to. I meant to talk about pruning the raspberries last week.
Right.
And we didn't get to it. So
let's do that.
Just brought up raspberries. So
we should talk about pruning.
Cane pruning.
And what you're doing is pruning out the canes that had the early crop.
Okay.
Because they're going to just die. And what you're doing is there's several things going on. One is that's where the bugs are going to live if you don't cut them out. The other thing is you're giving space for the new shoots to come up.
Okay.
So this
same old thing, air and light.
So you want to prune these out. And I've been to places where people just every year they just mowed them down at 16 inches and all the old stuff and all the new stuff, and they're all fighting. I said, no. You take all those dead things out.
Right.
And you got to get on your hands and knees. And that's
crank them out.
And I have pants on and I have gloves on. It's one of the few times you'll see me with gloves on. Mm-hmm. And I'm pruning those canes at the ground level. And the reason why I'm pruning at the ground level is if you don't prune them at ground level, they get this a mass of dead sticks sticking up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I've seen, I mean, it doesn't hurt, but what I've seen also is those new shoots coming up.
And they're scraping against it, and they're getting worn off.
And they get worn off, and they're a little bit weaker. And if the wind comes just the right way, it knocks them over.
Oh, wow.
So I actually prune right to the ground, and I have pruners that I actually use for those kind of situations. I don't use my good Velcro $70 pruners.
I have a junk pair. Yeah, exactly. And you keep your little stone in your pocket too, because you're gonna dull your
You're gonna hit rocks and garbage.
Some rough work going on there.
Yeah, I do that with my roses, my those cabbage roses. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
it's so hard to get all the goobers out. I never
all the
can.
Way to the ground. Yeah,
yeah.
I see what you mean.
And in my roses, some of them are, you know, they're huge. I really uh-huh. need a pruning saw, and I can't get in there with one.
Yeah,
but after a while they rot, and then you can just
push them over.
Yeah, and get
right.
them out.
Right.
Yeah. But it's the same old thing. Air, light, clean, mm-hmm. soft soil, you're in.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have the other variety of raspberries, which is blooming and producing now. And that's called the prima canes, if I'm correct. And those, as soon as it's frost, you cut those all the way to the ground. There is no canes.
Uh-huh.
There's no canes left over for the winter. That's one that...
Just a different
it's a different plant. And
see, what I knew about raspberries when I was introduced to growing raspberries uh-huh. in New England, we didn't have that first growth, second growth. You got the midsummer growth,
mm-hmm.
you whacked those, and the next year you got another growth.
Sometimes the ones that I just pruned out, like up on Redlands, that variety does not do a fall crop.
Right.
Yeah, rarely. You're lucky if you get that.
Right.
But this is a different variety, and the canes grow really fast.
Right.
And they actually, from pruning in the fall, I can, on some years, start getting raspberry production in July.
Wow. And wow, that's nice.
You know what? Yeah, that's the truth, too. I've mm-hmm. seen raspberries. Yeah, sure.
And these they're kicking in right now. I get about 2 quarts a day, every
Yummy.
Other day.
Wow.
Ooh.
I remember Granny Mac's, they were raspberries, and they grew in the gravel on the edge of her driveway.
Uh-huh.
And she was crazy lady, and she dried them all in cookie sheets.
Oh, my gosh.
So that they wouldn't get squished.
Uh-huh.
You know, she froze them all. She would put them on the cookie sheets and put them in the freezer on the cookie sheet and freeze them. And then take them off the cookie sheet and put them in a bag.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So then that way they didn't.
That. That's your crazy granny?
Well, that was Granny McPherson in Carbondale. Oh. Yeah, she lived in Aspen too. She was an amazing woman.
Uh-huh. Love it.
Yeah, she was fabulous, had fabulous stories.
Yeah.
But her raspberries grew all over the edge. I mean, in the no man's land, uh-huh. you know, it was crazy.
One of those things.
Right? Yeah, right. Just one of those things.
Yeah. She won't be starving either.
No.
A little mustard seed.
She passed away, but so
bless
she
her heart.
For sure won't be starving.
She's in the land of abundance.
But man, she never would have starved anyway. She had it going on.
Yeah, right on. Hey, you know, time is up again, and thanks for great conversation and Anthony, for your call. And I want to remind people, because it's next weekend, not this upcoming weekend, but the 10th.
The 10th, yeah.
Is the retreat or the event up there on Redlands Mesa. Go to redlandsmesagrange.weebly.com, and we'll remind you again next week. But it is DJ Leah Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective. And Lulu, Lance, we'll be back again next week. Yeah. Have fun in the garden.
I can't wait. Yeah, we're having fun now.
Harvest. Right. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
With you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.